It's so good to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you for loving the Lord so much. You're such a great witness. Really has been a joy to have this time with you in praise and adoration. Just want to say a few words. And I had a talk planned that as I came in here, I realized you'd all be out in about 3 minutes if I started down that path. It'll be a good one for the morning, I think. And so I just allowed Sister Agnes Therese to write this talk as she was praying and praising for us. But if you'll just take a few moments to pray for me that I manage to get all of it out as the Lord has given it to me and not get in the way, I'd be grateful. Please pray with me to Our Lady that she can pray for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. This song that we just sang, Lord, take the blindness from my eyes, all my arrogance and pride, fill my vision with your light. Lord, take the deafness from my ears, when I'm dull and slow to hear, help me recognize your voice. Lord, take the darkness from my mind, when temptation makes me blind, come renew me with your truth. And Lord, take the hardness from my heart, roll away the stony part. Fill me with a love that's true. It's such a beautiful song in so many ways, and the lyrics are so beautiful. And we all prayed it, I think, with a lot of heart and devotion. The thing that we may not have been aware of is precisely what Sister Agnes Therese pointed out. For this to happen, the Lord needs to take some things away from us. That's what we're asking Him. We're talking about blindness, but all of us actually have physical sight. The blindness that prevents us from seeing Him, the arrogance and pride, the blindness of our own attachments, the blindness of thinking that we have the world in our control and we'd like it to stay that way, the deafness that keeps us from hearing Him because we already have all of the answers. And as I was listening to that song, I was thinking so much of my own journey, and I wanted to just take you into a little chapter in my own journey of growth and conversion. Starting from when I went to Penn State as an unbaptized atheist, and I thought Christianity was for the stupid and the weak. And so I dismissed Christians as being too stupid to figure out science, too weak to deal with their own problems. Well, the wonderful discovery for me over the next couple of years is that I was exactly right. It is for the stupid and the weak. I just didn't realize yet that I was stupid and weak. And it was the Lord removing that blindness from my eyes of arrogance and pride, thinking I can do everything on my own, that I can have all of the answers. I was successful in all of the world's ways, good grades and high places in college, a good career ahead of me and friends and girlfriend, all of these things, all of the success in the eyes of the world. And I'd done it all for myself. And the great gift that the Lord gave me steadily, because He's so gentle. He started to present the truth to me, and He started to build up some understanding for me. A total stranger came up and invited me to study the Bible with him one-on-one, so we began to meet. And that man was so good and authentic that just his witness taught me so much. But there were some points along the way, for example, we studied the book of Genesis. We studied the story of Abraham. And, you know, Abram was asked by God, will you leave everything and go to the place that I show you? And we had a little question sheet, and David, the man I was studying with, said, would you leave everything and go where God would show you? And I said, well, like God was talking to him. I mean, yeah, if God came and talked to me, I'd do whatever he wanted. You can see how that worked out eventually. But I had no idea what it meant for God to talk to somebody, what that was all about, because I didn't really need God. I was doing just fine without him. I had been going all of these years without prayer, without worship, without any reference to God. I didn't think that I had any need for him at all. And again, the Lord is so gentle, he could have taken the blindness from my eyes to see my radical poverty. Right? What does it take? A car accident? A stroke? I mean, our lives change in the blink of an eye. We think that we're so in control of things, but we're so poor. We don't have control of anything. God can take everything away in a moment. Again, God is so gentle, so he finds ways to do it. Sometimes he does take everything away in such radical turns. And one of our great saints in the church, for example, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, was hit in the leg with a cannonball, lost a huge battle, ended up in the hospital, was in terrible pain and agony. It's the way that God had to get to him, to take all of that away in order to dismantle his self-sufficiency, to remove the blindness of arrogance and pride, to remove the deafness from his ears so that he could hear. The Lord did that just very gently with me, drawing me closer, helping me to trust more and more. I came to the point, just a combination of the intellectual and the delight of beauty, really. After many months of studying the scripture and also running away at different times, and I was still living a life very much in sin and just very much living, doing whatever I wanted to, we came over time and started studying the Gospel of John. We read the first chapter of John, and I became Christian. I just was so taken with the prologue of John. There was something in the beauty, in the transcendence of that, that spoke to me and just cut through so many layers. And I was open to something so great, magnificent, so far beyond me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And what came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of men. These words of John's Gospel, also continuing with, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And no one has ever seen God except the only Son, God, who has always dwelt in the bosom of the Father. These beautiful words just captivated my heart and broke open something that I beheld much greater than myself. And I became open to the Lord. But I still didn't really know him. And there again, the Lord had to remove that blindness from my eyes. I said, if God came and talked to me, sure, I'd do whatever he asked. But I had no idea what that meant for God to speak to me. How we could actually hear him, how we could see him. And I was doing a study abroad in Germany, and I had already gone with a certain amount of intention to return to my old ways, you know, and I had been, I thought, well, you know, in Germany I'll be able to drink legally, and I had real long hair in college. I'd cut it off, but I thought, oh, you know, I could like grow out my hair again and just kind of be in the party scene. Well, the guy I was studying the Bible with, because he was listening to the Holy Spirit, he got together with me one morning and goes, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I'd like to send you to Germany as a missionary. It's like, that's not working with my plans. But I had really come to trust him so much, and so I said, well, we can pray about it, you know. I said, okay, well, eventually I got on the plane, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if God wants me to be a missionary, he can let me know. I thought that was pretty safe, right, because he doesn't talk to me anyway. So I landed in Frankfurt. It's about an hour travel train ride north to Marburg, which is the university I was studying in. And the only expectation I had about Germany, I live pretty much without, you know, I don't imagine how all of these things are going to be. I was just going to go and then figure it out from there. But about the only expectation I had was that the day that I took off, or landed in Germany, I was going to end up where I was supposed to be. I didn't think that was too much to ask for. I landed in Frankfurt. This family from the same university Bible fellowship, Korean family, picked me up at the airport, and they're talking to me in German. Now, I had taken years of German at this point, but I'm a little insecure, and I'm also a perfectionist. It's not a good combination for languages, because you don't want to say anything unless you can say it perfectly, and so anyway. So I was wrestling with all of that. I didn't understand what in the world they were saying, because they were speaking German with a heavy Korean accent. You know, you got the P's and the F's mixed up and all this kind of, I had no idea. So I was stumbling my way through all of that, and they were supposed to get me from the airport to the train station. It wasn't complicated, you know. Simple airport to the train station. Had I known that the train station is in the airport in Frankfurt, I might have done things differently. But I was picked up by this family, and they drove me to their home, and I'm thinking, this is not how things are supposed to work out. Okay, so I'm now in this Korean home. They're going to feed me some lunch. Very good food. I was very happy about that. But then they made a phone call to the place in Marburg where I was supposed to end up. Nobody's answering. And they said, well, we'll call, you know, maybe they're on siesta or whatever. We'll call in a little bit. So it's, you know, 1 in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon, they call. They said, you know, nobody's answering. Now, we could put you on a train and send you up there, but there might be nobody to receive you, and then you'd end up in a hotel. Why don't you just stay with us for the weekend? And I thought, because I need to be in Marburg. That's the only thing I had planned today, was to get to the place. But of course, I'm polite and insecure about my German. I said, okay, that'll be great. So here I am, not wanting to be a missionary and living in the home of the missionaries in Germany. And in there, they have a house church there that they, you know, they would meet there with everybody else on Sunday morning. And they say to me, so I arrived on Friday, they, you know, we had a little bit of time, and they say, you know, it would be great if, I arrived on Saturday, so the next day was church. They said, it would be great if you could share your life testimony with the group tomorrow. I thought, there are a number of problems with this. This is how the Lord strips us. Strips us in order to make us trust in his grace. He takes things away from us. Now, he could have done that in much more difficult ways. I could have been in a train wreck or something like that. This was a much more pleasant way to be stripped than some ways that he could choose. But he took away my security. He took away my plans. He took me way out of my comfort zone. I was hardly comfortable speaking German, let alone sharing my life testimony in Germany, which I had never done in English before, let alone in German. And I was so wrecked inside. I mean, at this point in my life, I'd probably cried about 3 times in the past 10 years. Well, I was in tears that night as I was like lost and confused and so open to his grace. So I had some help, gave my life testimony. I arrived in Germany as a missionary. That didn't stop me from pursuing my plans on Monday, however. So I eventually got on a train, went to Marburg, and already experienced the first grace. There were 5 other students from Penn State who went to Germany. All of the rest of them arrived in Marburg on Saturday. They did connect with their people. They just weren't answering the phone. They were actually waiting, and they just kind of figured I would sort myself out, and I found them on Monday. But all of the other Penn Staters had a horrible weekend. They didn't know where each other was. They didn't know where anybody else was. They were totally alone in their individual dorms spread throughout the campus at Marburg, and they were completely homesick. Whereas after I got over my initial devastation, I had really had a beautiful weekend. Beautiful people. They had taken me around Frankfurt. I had gotten to see some of the country. I got to meet all these, you know, just beautiful, faithful Christians. I had fantastic homemade Korean food. Just marvelous. And, you know, all my classmates had this worst experience. So it opened me up, kind of kept me connected. About a month into my time in Germany, the first month I was there, it was all language studies. And my language is pretty good. It was Tuesday through Thursday. We had kind of, you know, 4 hours or 6 hours or something of German. A lot of free time, 4-day weekends. We did some traveling, the group of us, and we were really dedicated. We were all speaking German to each other, you know, a bunch of Americans speaking German to each other on these trains and all of this, and just having a beautiful time. And about a month in, then I started real classes, or 6 weeks in, and I suddenly found myself confronted with reality again. And now the Lord had very gently taken away so many of my securities. I grew up, my dad was in the Navy, we traveled, I always made friends, never a problem. Moving was never a problem, being in a foreign place was never a problem. School was certainly never a problem. I breezed through everything in school. Well, I got into the first week of classes, I was in a foreign land, I felt completely overwhelmed. I could speak objectively, I could speak good German, but I was so insecure about it that it was hard for me to reach out and to make friends. I started taking I was taking graduate classes in math and computer science taught in German. You know, why not? And they gave us a sheet at the beginning that was like review material. Turn this in, you know, whatever. Here it is on Thursday. Turn it in on Monday. It's just all the stuff that you ought to know before you get to the class. I didn't even know where to start with these problems. I had no idea what this was. And I suddenly saw the next 4 months stretching out in front of me like a complete nightmare. The Lord just had taken all of that security from me and left me so poor, so barren. And that really brought me to my knees. Before I went to Germany, I had been praying every day. I was actually getting together with the guy I studied the Bible with every morning. We'd read scripture, we'd write a meditation, we'd read it to each other, we'd pray together every day. And when I came to Germany, I kind of slacked off from that. I was still going to church. I was actually going to Mass already on Sundays. So I was somewhat faithful, but had slacked. Well, I hit this wall, and it was the great gift that the Lord gave me, was to give me a wall to run into. And it brought me to my knees. I started reading the scripture again in the morning, getting up, praying. And I prayed, I was really in a desperate situation. I prayed for two things concretely. I prayed that I would be able to go back to Frankfurt and meet with those people again, because it had been a sanctuary for me. And I knew that I needed to be supported in my faith, and I needed a little sense of home. So my weekend, which was not in my plans, had suddenly become home for me. I wanted to go there, but I didn't have the money in my bank account. My dad was supposed to direct deposit some the next week, but I didn't have enough in there. So I didn't know where the money was going to come from, about $30 to get a train to go to Frankfurt. The other thing I prayed for was with my classes, which was a huge step in humility for me. If there was anything I was proud of and self-sufficient about, it was my capability to do whatever I wanted to in school. I mean, I just had never struggled. Put it on, I can deal with it. And here I was, humbled. The first time I ever asked for help, certainly from God, in my school. So the Lord had just really humbled me. I checked my bank account. So this was like beginning of the week. I was praying for this, that I could go there over the weekend. Friday came around, and I just thought, okay, well, I've been praying for this. I don't know. Maybe God will put money in my bank account. So I checked my bank account, and my rent for the apartment or for the dorm was also a direct withdrawal, and it was $30 cheaper that month. The coincidence was not lost on me. I said, wow, that's amazing. So I withdrew that money, and I bought a train ticket, and I went to the group in Frankfurt. I had actually prayed also that the Lord would provide me with people to pray with. And I went down there, and I got all kind of insecure again. And they said, do you want to do Bible study together? And I was like, oh. And I was hearing in my mind, I'm answering your prayer, man. What's wrong? And so I gave into that, and we did, you know, a little Bible study and prayed together. Just beautiful experience, beautiful weekend, totally refreshing. I also worked on some of those homework assignments. I had these two classes. While I was down there, I spent some time, just like the lights went on. I was like, oh, I know how to, oh, I got this. Okay, so I started writing this. The other thing, I got back to campus, I went to the library and I just started looking in books. I actually found the answer to one of the questions in a book, which then helped me figure out what was going on with the other questions. I turned them in, and when we got our grades back that following week, I'd gotten 100% on both assignments, and the TA asked me to present my proof because it was the most elegant one. And I could really say deeply from my heart, for the first time in my life, this wasn't me. I knew that I didn't have this. I knew that I was poor and I couldn't do it on my own. And I was able to ask the Lord for help. Those experiences really remove blindness and deafness. And just a week or so after that, I was in my morning, I had regenerated my morning routine of prayer and was reading from scripture, and I was actually reading from, I don't know if you know the book, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. And I don't even remember what the reflection was, to be honest, but I was reading there, and I suddenly became aware that God was there. And I was sort of taken aback, and then I realized that there was a voice, and I could speak to him. Now, I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. This is the same obscurity of faith that we all deal with, right? But it had just fallen into place as he had reduced me to poverty, as he had opened my trust in him, as he provided for me and showed me that he's true to his promises, and he became real for me in that moment. And it was that poverty, that experience of being so poor and helpless, that opened me to his presence. And I started to ask him. I asked him that fateful question that you should never ask. Lord, I want to be whatever you want me to be. How do I need to change my life for you? He didn't hesitate to help me out with that. He said, you know your girlfriend? It's like, how else do you want me to change my life for you? And the amazing thing was, you know, I really started to live in that relationship with him and start to ask him everything. I'm like, how should I, you know, there are three different ways. I lived at the top of the hill in the inner city next to the castle. It's just a good time. In Europe, you know, you can live next to castles that Elizabeth of Hungary lived in, by the way. And there were several ways I could walk to the classrooms, you know, and in the morning I was like, okay, Jesus, do you want me to take the stairs today? Or should I take the road today? Or should I take the road the other direction? The stairs. Okay, all right, we're going with the stairs. You know, I take the stairs. And then I was also a little scientific about it. You know, I was like, okay, I think I stop at the store on the way back from class and, you know, buy some food to make dinner. Jesus, do you want me to buy ham today or just cheese? Really, just cheese? You sure about that? I don't know. I'm going to just try the ham. And then I get the ham, and it was bad. You know, just like, man, you're always right. You're always right. And I had friends there. They're couple of friends that were going through some relationship issues. You know, it was my introduction into counseling and spiritual direction, not knowing what I was doing, but I was really listening to the Lord. I was counseling, and I would hear him say, actually, another beautiful moment, I was really longing. I was praying for somebody that would help me in these classes and that could support me, and I had some friends from the U.S., but I just was, I don't know, feeling like I needed somebody, and I just prayed, and as I was praying for a friend, I saw this guy that was in, you know, two of my classes. And the Lord said, you know, pointed him out to me. It's like, okay, this is really hard. Help me, Lord. All right, here we go. Walked up to him, just introduced myself, told him where I was from. And I said, you know, do you think we could, like, study together something? This is tough for me. He's like, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. I just saw him last fall. We've been friends for 20 years. His whole family came to my ordination, and he's come several times, came to my vows, and has come to visit, and I was in Germany last fall and had the chance to visit him. Beautiful friendship. Only the Lord does these things. He was like the only Catholic. Can you believe it? The only Catholic. And ultimately, he's the one that introduced me to St. Boniface. Because he's from Mainz, and St. Boniface is the archbishop in Mainz. So as he showed me around Mainz, there was a statue of St. Boniface, told me the whole story about this Benedictine missionary. Obviously, that stuck. So, beautiful things. The Lord just guiding me. Sometimes I didn't trust him. I went my own way. It became obvious that I should have. Sometimes I trusted him in spite of thinking, this isn't going to work out. You know, if I say this to him, if I say this to her, if I, you know, it's going to be a disaster. And the Lord just taught me so much about trusting, listening, really living by his voice. He wants to remove our deafness. He wants to remove our blindness. And it's only by opening our hands and really making us poor. We can't be afraid of what he'll take from us, because the worst thing he could do is leave us in the midst of our own securities. The worst thing he could do would be to leave us to our own devices. The worst thing that he could do is make us think that we can do it all on our own. It is such a gift when the Lord strips us and makes us poor. Just want to read a thought or two to finish up from this beautiful book, The Gift of Faith. He says, he speaks about mammon, as Jesus says, you cannot love God and mammon. During prayer, while standing before the Lord, show him not only your empty hands, but also your dirty hands, defiled by your attachments to mammon, and pray that he will have mercy on you. Prayer can develop only in the atmosphere of freedom. As a disciple of Christ, you are called especially to contemplative prayer, for your prayer is to become contemplation, that is, a loving gaze on Jesus Christ, your beloved. It is essential to have a free heart. That is why Christ fights so much for your heart to be free. He fights through various events, through difficulties and storms, all the while giving you the chance to cooperate intensely with his grace. In all these situations, Christ expects that you will try to cleanse your heart, soiled by attachments and servitude to mammon. Hence, all these difficult moments and all the storms are graces for you. All these difficult moments and all the storms are graces for you. They are the passing by of the merciful God who loves you so much that he wants to give you this magnificent gift, the gift of total freedom of your heart. Your heart should not be divided. It should be a heart solely for him. To have faith means to see and understand the meaning of your life in accordance with the gospel, and that God is most important. Your life is to be oriented toward him, to seek and build primarily his kingdom with faith that everything else will be given to you. God wants to bestow each person with all his love. However, he can bestow this on a person only to the extent of his openness, his readiness to be stripped of his attachments, so that room may be made for him. It is faith that creates in us this emptiness and vacuum in which God can dwell. And as we take some time in silence now, he even gives us some concrete suggestions. He says, how can you uncover your mammon? Our tension, stress, restlessness, rushing, and sadness that accompany you through life, signs that you serve some kind of mammon? There are people, for example, that live under constant stress. How great, then, must be their attachment to something opposed to God? People free from attachments are filled with the peace of God. The peace of God builds and strengthens mental health, which in turn reflects on physical health. In this way, the soul, the psyche, the body participate in a person's great freedom. A person free from attachments is also free from facial wrinkles. Well, maybe our faces sag even if we're living a good life. Mother Teresa certainly had some beautiful ones. From stress and from diseases of civilization. Mammon systematically destroys a person. It not only blocks your way to Christ and your adhering to him, but it also destroys your health and your psyche. An obvious sign of attachments is also your sadness in situations when God takes something away from you. He will therefore take that which you are enslaved to. Hence, everything that is your greatest enemy, that which causes your heart not to be free for him. It is only then when you start to accept cheerfully these kinds of situations and submit with serenity that you will become more and more free. So as we take time in silent adoration now, we come before the Lord, just Allow him to shine light. Ask him, where are the attachments in my life? Lord, where is the blindness and deafness that prevents me from seeing you and hearing you and feeling your touch and drawing close to you? Where are the ways that I'm depending too much in myself or in created goods, even in spiritual experiences, that I'm not really clinging to you? Where are the places that I need to be stripped? And Lord, give me the strength to allow that, to open my hands. Sister Agnes Therese encouraged us, open our dirty hands, as Father Tadush encouraged us, knowing that we cling to these things, but God can wash us free from our attachments and give us the peace that surpasses understanding that we most deeply long for.